saying goes that a week is a long time in football, and if ever evidence was needed of that, then you'd need to look no further than Reading's final 7 days before the international break. Following a 4-0 away defeat at Nottingham Forest, the club seemed to be staring down the barrel of relegation, but a draw away at Bournemouth and a win at home over Blackburn, with a couple of belting goals thrown in for good measure, it's done wonders for morale, and Reading looking much healthier going into the international break. Certainly, with morale, at least, they are actually only a point better off in terms of a gap to the relegation zone than they were after that Forest defeat. But it is brilliant what a couple of good results can do for morale. Welcome to episode 294 of the Tireless Den podcast. My name is Ollie Allen, and joining me on the show this week is the one man willing to still put in a shift despite it being the international break. It's Adam Jones. How's it going, Adam?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. I think, yeah, the international break is a bit of a drag just in work and kind of in general, really. But at least we've got some kind of good results to look back on. So, yeah, I'm excited to get into this one.
Yeah, it's much better to be sitting on a win for 2 weeks than it is to be sitting on a defeat. So, well done, Reading, for finally backing up their ideas and putting a win on the board against Blackburn at the weekend. And we'll get straight into that in the recap and look it back at the Bournemouth game. Briefly, just a quick mention, as always, to our sponsors, ZCZ Films. Always appreciative of the support they give the podcast and the website, really helps spur us on. And likewise, also to all our Patreon subscribers who continue to donate monthly to the cause, which, as I say, really, really helps motivate us and keep us going. So if you do want to go and support us, really, really much appreciated, as much or as little per month as you can, please do head over to patreon.com/thetirelessend and you will have our eternal thanks. Right then, let's get into the recap then for both the draw against Bournemouth and the win over Blackburn.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
So, yeah, me and Ben obviously sat here a week ago, Adam, after that defeat to Nottingham Forest. Very downbeat, very pessimistic, really, about what the week ahead would look like, considering, obviously, we were playing two sides inside the top six in Bournemouth and Blackburn. But somehow Reading came away with 4 points in those games, a 1-1 draw away at the Vitality Stadium, and in fact they probably deserved to win the game, really. Obviously went behind after 8 minutes when Dominic Solanke scored. You sort of feared the worst at that point, I think, considering, you know, how Reading had collapsed the previous weekend against Forest. But to be honest, from the moment Bournemouth scored, Reading were probably the better side, and, you know, Tom Ince equalised with his first goal for the club, a brilliant strike from the edge of the box, and as I say, Reading probably unlucky not to come away with the win from that Bournemouth game. And they do get the win over Blackburn, a 1-0 win at the Select Cardiff Stadium over Tony Mowbray's side on Saturday, courtesy of an even better goal. Josh Laurent with a goal of the season contender, which I'm sure we'll get onto in a short while. But Adam, these were, I think for me, sort of exactly the sort of results you need in a relegation battle. You know, we've not had enough of them this season. You know, so many times we've lost games that we could have drawn. You know, we've thrown away points in the last few minutes of game. So to get that point away at Bournemouth, especially having conceded first, I think was a great result. And obviously that Blackburn win as well, a first clean sheet under Paul Ince. And we've not had enough of those sort of hard-fought 1-0 wins this season. And it is dragging Reading, hopefully, over the line to survival.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feared the worst after the Forest game. I thought, I was saying to you, just before we came on here, that I thought that Forest were probably the poorest I've seen them all season, kind of in that first half when we were, you know, it wasn't us, you know, being good, perhaps, that we were only 1-0 down. It was the fact that, you know, the home side were so poor. So coming into the Bournemouth game, I thought, you know, it's going to be a very tough one, judging by the predictions in the TT group chat, the 3-0s, the 4-0s, the 5-0s. I think that was kind of summed up the mood of the whole fan base, really. And when you go behind early, like we did, you know, it was kind of the last thing that we needed, really. So, yeah, I thought that we, you know, we were going to collapse at that point. But no, we fought back well, you know, especially after the goal as well. Right after the goal, we fought back reasonably well. You know, as Paul Lynch said after the match, he said, you know, that we deserve to win all 3 points, and he's disappointed that we didn't win all 3 points. And I have to agree with him. I thought we were kind of, if we would have won it, then I think we just about shaded it, to be honest with you, especially in that second half. I thought it was absolutely kind of superb, really, some of our play. I know that Danny Drinkwater comes in for a lot of stick. I thought he was great in the middle, kind of making those passes through and, you know, kind of cutting kind of Bournemouth open, really. So I thought that he was kind of vital in that second half, kind of unsettling, you know, the home side. So I thought he was, you know, he played a decent part in it. Obviously, Ince as well, fantastic goal. You know, all that needs, you know, all they needed really was that one bit of quality, and Ince provided that. But yeah, fair play to Reading, because I thought it was a really good performance, and credit to Tom Holmes as well for coming back in that game and putting in a real shift. I thought, you know, every player there, you know, played their part. And okay, Bournemouth were not fantastic on the night. I thought their fullbacks were especially disappointing. I think, you know, Zamora was a little bit sloppy. I think that Jack Stacey wasn't, you know, anywhere near as clinical as he should have been. And, you know, coming up against Tom McIntyre, I think he should have capitalised, really. And you know, had quite a poor effort on goal, really. So I think they kind of played a part. You know, their poor performance, I don't think they performed up to expectations, you know, for, you know, a lot of this year, this calendar year anyway. Yeah, I don't think they were fantastic, but yeah, I've got to give credit to us, because, you know, we're the ones who have got something out of the game. So yeah, I thought that was you know, a good performance and a good result from us. In terms of Blackburn, I was quite fearful that one as well. I know that we'd secured a decent result. I had a good feeling about the game and they were going to get a win, but I had no idea why, because they've got some very good attacking players. And, you know, that kind of showed really when they had Dolan and Gallagher and Buckley and those sorts of players up top. And they had Kadra on the right wing. And I think, you know, they probably tried to target McIntyre, because I'm not convinced about him kind of as a fullback. So the fact that Kadra went off quite early on was you know, kind of lucky for us in a way. And I thought, yeah, I thought that was kind of lucky for us, and kind of changed the game, really. And also think another enforced substitution in terms of John Swift coming on. I think he changed the game as well. You know, he can really unlock defences. And I think for me, he proved to be the real difference. I know that it was a moment of magic in the end from, you know, from Josh Laurent, and, you know, fair play to him for that goal, because I thought it took a deflection, but he was absolutely superb, you know, the strike. So yeah. You know, fair play to Laurent as well. Obviously, he's not enjoyed the most successful season, but has come up with the goods on the afternoon. Obviously, both sides had chances to win it. I'm not sure how Gallagher didn't score, but in the end, you know, we took the big chance that we had, and obviously we missed a couple in the first half. But you know, Laurent got an opening and he you know, tried his luck and it worked. So. Yeah, we were just a little bit more clinical on the day, and fair play to them, because you know, that could be three very crucial points at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, as you say, Reading took their chances, and they haven't done that anywhere near enough this season. And as I say, when you're in a relegation battle, as Reading are, then you need those moments to fall for you. And but it's really, really strange, because you know, I'm saying off air that, you know, we put in two really decent performances the last 10 days or so, against Bournemouth and against Blackburn. But then, you know, for, you know, 80% of the season, you know, this team has been a shadow of that. You know, the collapse against Forest, the collapse against Blackpool only a few weeks earlier, you know, that we were saying that ultimately the change in manager hadn't seemed to have had an impact. And we'll speak about sort of the, you know, whether things are turning a corner under Paul Ince a bit later. But for me, there's always been quality in this side, and you know, we've said it all season that you know, this squad should be nowhere near the bottom three. You know, in terms of the quality they have, in terms of, you know, that John Swift is one of the best midfielders in the division. Lucas Jao, when he's fit and firing, is one of the best, you know, strikers in the division. You know, Laurent is, you know, Laurent can produce that sort of moment as he did on Saturday, but we haven't seen it anywhere near enough. And you know, the debate will rage on sort of why that's been the case, you know, in terms of confidence levels or, injuries and things like that. But for whatever reason, we've not seen it enough from Reading this season. But ultimately, those moments did fortunately go our way, and we potentially might be turning a corner. Game management, I think, for me was massive for that Blackburn game in particular. Sim picked up on it in the match report that after Reading went in front in the 78th minute, they limited Blackburn to just one shot after that moment, which again is something we've not seen anywhere near enough from Reading in terms of, you know, closing down games. You know, we've seen so many times this season that Reading have dropped points, you know, lost games, drawn games in the final moments of matches. You know, when they've conceded, you know, late goals, sometimes two late goals, thinking back to the collapse against QPR back in September. So for them to close that game out, as I say, a first clean sheet under Paul Lynch was really, really pleasing. And a special mention to Orion Nyland, who's come in and obviously played his first two games for the club over the last week and got a clean sheet. Reading's first 1-0 victory since the middle of October. As I say, we've not had results like that anywhere near enough. And hopefully we can pick up a few more of those over the course of the season, and even pick up, you know, draws like against Bournemouth. You know, draws can be the foundation of really strong survival bids. You know, I think back to Jose Gomez 3 years ago, where I think Reading drew something about half of his, you know, sort of last 20 games in charge, or the last 20 games of that 18-19 season. And that pretty much kept Reading up. You know, they weren't necessarily winning games every week, but they were getting points and sort of edging closer to that survival line. So look, there's a decent run of games coming up now in April, starting with obviously that massive Barnsley game straight after the international break, but then lots of winnable games after it against teams in the bottom half with not an awful lot to play for, the likes of Stoke, Swansea, Cardiff, Hull, you know, games coming up against them that the Reading should be looking at, you know, probably taking maximum points from, if we're being brutally honest. You know, as I say, we've seen the performances that the Reading can put in over the last week if they show up. You know, if this Reading team fancy it on their day, I think they can compete with anyone in this league. You know, we've seen that. You know, that might seem strange considering the, you know, place we are on the table, but we've seen it over the last week. You know, we competed away at a decent Bournemouth side to our second in the league, probably playing Premier League football next season. You know, we've taken 4 points away from home against the top two in this division in Fulham and Bournemouth. But then equally, we've taken 1 point away from home from the bottom two in Derby and Peterborough. It's such a Jekyll and Hyde Reading side, and it's really, really confusing to get your head around, because they can, you know, really lift you up 1 week and then disappoint you the next. And I think that's why probably most people are reticent to say that we've turned a corner quite yet, because anything could happen over the next 8 games. We could go and lose to Barnsley after the international break and be right back in the thick of it and be 2 points clear of the drop zone. And, you know, psychologically, obviously, a win for Barnsley would be huge for them, and, you know, certainly not Reading. So things can change very, very quickly. But hopefully, as I say, we have turned the corner. As I say, we've got a question on Paul Ince and sort of the impact he's made in the mailbag. So we'll save that for them. That just about rounds up the recap. But I do want to give a special mention to that Josh Laurent goal. I think it's certainly worth paying some time, just paying tribute to it, because Adam, it was certainly a contender for goal of the season. I don't know what you think. I've, you know, got a couple of others down here. Tom Delibashiru's second goal against Peterborough sprung to mind. Tom Holmes is obviously brilliant bicycle kick against Hull in December. Both of Obi Ajari's goals against Fulham as well, and obviously Tom Ince as well hit a belting strike on Tuesday against Bournemouth. But for a player who's not scored this season, that was a very, very good strike.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Goal of the season so far, obviously, you've listed a couple there. I think that Delibashiru's strike against Peterborough, I think it was the second, wasn't it? I thought that took a deflection, so I think that kind of ranks it below Josh Laurent. I'm sorry, Bashiru, but I think that kind of ranks below Laurent if it did take a deflection. Obviously, Laurent didn't. You know, many people thought it did, and, you know, that just shows how good of a strike it was. In terms of Tom Holmes, I mean, a centre-back scoring a bicycle kick, and especially, you know, his first goal first senior goal for Reading as well, is a great achievement for him. And perhaps that's one of the moments of the season so far. There haven't been many, you know, too many high moments. But in terms of Laurent, yeah, I can't think of a better candidate for goal of the season so far. So yeah, I think I'd agree with you on that one.
I think that's a very good way of summing up, actually. I think in terms of moment of the season so far, that there probably aren't many better than that Tom Holmes goal, as you say, a centre-back scoring a bicycle kick, and as you say, his first goal for the club, considering he's a supporter of the football club, come through the academy. There aren't going to be many better moments than that. But yes, certainly, you know, Lawrence goal is right up there, considering the impact it had and the fact that it won Reading the game against Blackburn. It's definitely, I think, going to be a toss-up between those two, and Laurent might just edge it, I think, in terms of the context of this season. I think it's always important to, you know, it's always a shame when spectacular goals, you know, are consolations, or they don't actually mean that much. But, you know, this was both a fantastic strike, but also vitally, vitally important, because it gave Reading probably their biggest win of the season so far, I'd say, you know, particularly considering, you know, Blackburn are a top side. They're going for the playoffs, obviously. You know, they're going through a difficult patch at the moment. They were without Ben Brereton Diaz, and they are struggling in front of goal, but still, for Reading to come away and get 3 points, and them having lost at Ewood Park early in the season, and considering the predicament Reading, you know, find themselves in, you know, Derby and Barnsley have both dropped points in the early kickoffs. So for Reading to then go and put the pressure right on them now, you know, they're 5 points ahead of Barnsley. Now just looking at the table. So Barnsley, so Reading, of course, in 21st on 33 points. Barnsley in 22nd on 28. Peterborough then won on Sunday against QPR. Great win for them. They're on 26 points, so 7 points behind Reading. And then Derby look as if they've got it all to do. Obviously, a bit of life from Derby a few weeks ago, but they seem to just be running out of steam. Now they're bottom of the league on 25 points. And they've also played a game more than Reading, Barnsley and Peterborough. So, yes, certainly that Reading-Barnsley game, which we'll get onto in the big match preview, is absolutely huge. Right, we're going to hear from Paul Ince now. And then we do have a question on Paul Ince and the impact he's had in the mailbag. So here is Paul Ince's thoughts on Reading's win over Blackburn.
As I said, it wasn't a bit of a tough game. Blackburn are going for the playoffs. And if you'd have said to me, you know, Forest, Blackburn, Bournemouth, and we pick up 4 points under the circumstances that we're in, probably snatch your hand off. So to get what we did today and deserve it, thoroughly deserve it. I think the only problem, if I'm being negative, is that we didn't take our chances in the first half, which could have made the game a little more easier for us. You know, we've got to do that. We can't afford to miss up chances like that. But second half, yeah, we dug in, got the one and goal from Josh. And it was a one-nil goal. Thing is, I think a bit gutted there, because everyone was talking about Thomas's goal against Bournemouth. Now that's been surpassed by like the one-nil goal from Josh. So this we ain't got anything about Thomas's goal at Bournemouth. And one-nil goal from Josh, and you know, defensively we were fantastic. I mean, the back five, you know, Danny Drinks in there. I mean, they were awesome. We had to defend for our lives, and it's just nice to get a 1-0. It really is. To keep a clean sheet and get a 1-0, we move on.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Yeah, mailbag time then. Not too many this week. As the old adage goes, that when we lose a game, the mailbag is absolutely packed full of people with questions and complaints and thoughts. And when we win, people are much, much happier. But a real decent actually selection of questions we've had this week. And we will start with that question on Paul Ince, or more of an opinion slash thought on Paul Ince from Jordan Cottle. He said, not to rob Ince of all the credit for the last two results. He's done some good, some bad, some strange things. But I think the biggest factor is that this is the longest slash only run of the season with something approaching a full squad. Far more important than anything that Ince has or hasn't done. It's certainly worth considering, isn't it, Adam, that ultimately Paul Ince has the benefit of a squad that is much more senior than Veljko Paunović had. You know, it was, you know, you can call it an excuse, a reason, whatever you want to call it, that Paunović obviously struggled with, you know, never having a full senior match day 18 to pick from. You know, his substitutes bench was constantly packed with, you know, 23 players and 18s players, and it I suppose mitigated to a certain degree the way his tenure ended. whereas Paul Ince does have the benefit of now a fully fit and firing Lucas Joao, for one. You know, lots of players like Tom McIntyre, Michael Morrison coming back from injury. And I believe the weekend against Blackburn wasn't the first time this season that, that Reading have named like a full match day 18 that, that is all full of senior players. So how much weight, Adam, do you give to that? And how much weight do you give to the impact that, that, that Paul Ince has had?
I think it's a bit of a mix, but I totally agree with the point that I think having a full senior squad and having some of those attacking options on the bench, was it, you know, Mate and Swift and Brandon Barker as well, having those players on the bench, I think, is a massive psychological advantage for us, because we know if the game's not going to, you know, if the game's not going our way at that precise moment, then we can change it up. You know, it just shows you really how strong our attack is at the moment, that Halilovic can't really get into the matchday squad at the moment. I think Paul Ince said something about his fitness or something or other, but I can guarantee you, if we had to put an under 23 on the bench kind of in his place, or, you know, if we had the choice between an under 23 and Halilovic, then I think Halilovic would be on the bench, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I think that just goes to reinforce really how many, you know, how many options that we do have now. And, you know, even Brandon Barker, I thought, was reasonably bright in his short cameo at Forest. Obviously, that's not a fantastic kind of sample size, shall we say, but it's, you know, he showed real promise. So, you know, he's another option that we could use, really. So, yeah, the fact that we have got a full kind of squad, is, you know, works for us in it, just as much in a mental way as it does a physical way. So, yeah, I definitely, you know, give a lot of credence to that and put a lot of you know, that success, you know, recent success, down to the fact that we have had a decent bench that we can call upon. Because I think, you know, the likes of Yaki Mate and others are a big threat to have in this division. I think in terms of Paul Ince, I'm still obviously very sceptical of him. I'd prefer it if we had a different man in charge next season, if I'm being honest with you. But I'm not sure what to make of him at the moment. I'm not sure if we've had enough time as of yet. Maybe after, you know, a couple of losses, I've perhaps prejudged him a little bit and kind of jumped the gun a little. I think our game management in some games has been better. Obviously, you know, you look at others, you know, including the likes of, you know, Blackpool and Nottingham Forest, where we completely fell apart, kind of, you know, Pavlovic-like in a way, which was a real disappointment. But in some games, we've shown better game management. And I think for me, having Paul Ince in, I mean, this is just a wild guess, to be honest, but, you know, I'm guessing it's a little bit of a culture shock, you know, if Pavlovic was the same in the dressing rooms, he was kind of with the press, kind of, you know, the different kind of approach where, you know, Ince is just very brutally honest and, you know, he definitely, you know, isn't afraid to put rockets up backsides. I was trying to think of a nicer phrase, but, you know, that's basically it. You know, he's ready to put a rocket up backsides, and I'm not sure if Pavlovic kind of, I'm not sure if that was really his approach. So maybe that kind of, that culture shock in a way has worked in kind of our favour. I know that, you know, it definitely, I think it played a part in us not pulling out of any challenges against Blackburn. And there was a one certain 50-50 in well, loads of 50-50s in like a 30-second spell in the first half against Blackburn, and we were, you know, came out on top, and I was really, you know, impressed with that. So I think for me, having that kind of different managerial approach has worked slightly. I'm not sure if it's going to work for the long term. I think it will kind of run out of steam, but, you know, he's interim manager for a reason, really. So, yeah, I think it's a bit too early to judge fully. But, yeah, I'd say that the signs are mixed. And as Jordan said, it's, you know, he's done some good things, some bad things, and some bizarre things, really. So it's, yeah, it's difficult to judge at this stage. Ask me in 3 or 4 weeks, or ask me at the end of the season how he's done, and I might be able to give you a proper verdict on that one.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? That ultimately, Paul Ince has been brought in with one remit, and that is to keep Reading in the Championship. You know, if he succeeds in that, then ultimately he's done a good job. If he fails in that and Reading get relegated, then, you know, he goes down as the first man to take Reading into the third tier for over 20 years. So, yeah, I think Paul Ince in general, I think, is probably still masked a little bit by these preconceptions that people probably had And rightly so, you know, with, you know, the fact he's not managed in 8 years, the fact that his son's here, he was so quickly appointed despite not being an internal hire. You know, who knows how he was brought to the football club, how long he's going to be here. So I think that, you know, people are still, you know, well within their rights to ask questions of Paul Ince, but I think the change was always going to be needed. But yes, certainly in terms of, you know, it's just great to have, you know, a fully fit squad again. You know, there were times earlier in the season where Reading's sort of only real attacking option off the bench was Jamari Clark. And, you know, with as much respect to Jamari Clark, he's an 18-year-old. You know, yes, obviously came off the bench against Birmingham and got those two goals, but he was never going to be the go-to man, you know, off the bench in every single game. But, you know, you look at the bench on Saturday against Blackburn, you know, Junior Hoylett, Yaku Mate, John Swift all came off the bench. You know, we had Tom Delibashir as well and Brandon Bark. You know, so to have those options on the bench attacking wise, you know, that can change a game if need be, is great to have. Next question comes from Lee Burgess, who says, how many points do you think Reading need to stay up this season? I think 37. So Reading currently on 33 points, as I mentioned earlier, 5 points clear ahead of Barnsley on 28. Historically, over the last 10 years or so, teams need between sort of 41. I think that's the lowest that teams needed is 41 points, and the most is 55, which was in 2012-13. But certainly over the last few years, it's been on the lower end of that spectrum. The average points needed to survive in the Championship over the last 10 years is 45. I think I'd be hesitant to agree with Lee there as well, probably, that it is going to be probably on the lower end of that scale when you consider Derby's points deductions. And, you know, yes, Peterborough and Barnsley have had a few decent results over the last few weeks. But in general, they've been two of the worst sides, you know, the Championship's ever seen, really. So I think the points needed to stay up this season, you know, might even be the lowest that we've ever seen in the Championship, you know, for those reasons. And Reading might not even need 40 points to stay up. You know, as I say, usually you need around sort of 43, 44, 45. But I think Reading probably could do it with around 40 points. I think it's certainly doable for them this season. You know, as I say, there's a run of games coming up in April against teams in the bottom half with nothing to play for that the Reading should be targeting maximum points from, really. As I say, Reading on 33 points at the moment. I'd probably say maybe three or four more wins will. I think four wins will certainly do it. I think three wins out of the next, I think, how many games we've got left? Eight games left. I think if we win three of those eight games, you know, obviously it all hinges on the result really against Barnsley after the international break. If we win that, you know, and the gap could, you know, then be 8 points between us and the bottom three, you know, that might be safety assured then, really. But certainly, yeah, I think Lee's roundabout right with 37. Adam, how many points, or sort of how many wins do Reading need to get themselves safe?
I'm going to take a very different approach to you. I kind of think it's more about the psychology, I think. You know, if we win our next game against Barnsley, I think that'll be a massive, massive sucker blow to them. And as kind of similar, really, to last weekend with Peterborough going above Derby, I think that'll be a massive mental blow for Derby, you know, considering they overtook, you know, both Peterborough and Barnsley and now find themselves back at the bottom of the table. I think that'll be, you know, they'll feel awful about that. So I usually try and look at the bigger picture, but I want to focus kind of on the next game. And I think for me, if we win that one, I think that'll be an absolutely kind of huge, really, step towards safety. I mean, you know, Saturday felt big, but I think this one will be absolutely crucial, really. You know, a real six-pointer. And, you know, if we win that one, then I think for me, I'll be 100% more confident that that we'll stay up. Obviously, if they win, I think they can reduce the deficit to like 2 points, and at that point, you know, it's quite scary at that point. And yeah, it just shows you how much, you know, as you said and alluded to really at the start of the pod, you know, how much can really change in a week. So for me, it's about individual games. Obviously, we're not playing Derby again. Perhaps that's a positive thing, perhaps it's not. I think it's a good thing from my perspective, because I, you know, you can't really write Derby off, and I, you know, I'd certainly back them to get a point or three against us. So that's probably a good thing for us. But in terms of Barnsley, they've picked up recently. Obviously, we'll talk about them a bit more in the big match preview. But in terms of points, I mean, ideally, I'd want us to win all of our games, but that's just not realistic, really. If I had to put an estimate on it, I'd like to have it. I think kind of going along the same kind of path as you, I'd like to win perhaps three games. I think that might be just about enough. I'm not very comfortable with the deficit at the moment, even though we extended it at the weekend. I'm still not 100% comfortable. So, you know, three or four wins, I think, would perhaps, hopefully, be enough. But you can't write. I don't think you can write any of you know, the relegation battlers off at the moment. If you want to write one of them off, perhaps Peterborough, because of their running is quite difficult. But in terms of Derby, I mean, you know, we've written them off before, and you know they've come back and given themselves a chance. And the fact that they're in the position they are now is a credit to them. And in terms of Barnsley, you know, they look like a different side recently, and I know that you know, Carlton Morris is you know, perhaps going to be, I'm not sure if he returned at the weekend, but you know, his injury, you know, he sustained a week or two ago, isn't as bad as first feared. So you know, he's going to be a massive player for them as well. So yeah, hopefully we can get three or four more wins, but whether we can get them on the board, it kind of remains to be seen.
Yeah, and there are plenty of twists and turns in the relegation battle left. Yeah, I don't think anyone predicted Peterborough to go to QPR and get a 3-1 win at the weekend. You know, I think I'd written off Peterborough really from the relegation battle, and probably still doubt their credentials, you know, to go all the way and to survive. But, you know, it's results like that. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, probably none of the other teams banked on Reading getting a win against Blackburn or a point against Bournemouth in the week. So, you know, there's going to be results that surprise people. But I think if Reading can win the games that they are, I say expected to win, but certainly the games that are more winnable, against the teams, as I say, in the bottom half, they don't have much to play for, then touch wood, then they will be safe. But yeah, that, you know, the game against Barnsley is absolutely massive. And we've got one more question to go before we move on to previewing that game. Benjamin Vickers says, when is whatever is wrong with Nyland going to emerge? Picking up such an experienced and decent looking international goalkeeper for free at this stage of the season just seems too good to be true. And yeah, I mentioned it briefly in the recap, Adam, that he obviously got a clean sheet against Blackburn, played very well, made a couple of decent saves. Reading's fourth goalkeeper of the season, Orjan Nyland. Is he finally the one that the Reading are going to stick with for the rest of the campaign?
I'm hoping so. I think that, well, obviously we haven't had too many games to watch him in action, but the two that I've seen him in, he's been reasonably assured. I think in terms of the Bournemouth game, it was kind of refreshing really to see, you know, some decent distribution really from the goalkeeper. Obviously, you know, Hine, you know, in his very short spell here did okay, but his distribution wasn't fantastic really. It wasn't the greatest at all. So having Nyland there, who was, you know, pretty decent on the ball, was very good. And in terms of Blackburn, I think his shot stopping, you know, really came to the fore. Obviously, that's a save from Dak, and obviously Buckley as well. Obviously, I have to credit Drinkwater as well for that Buckley chance, because he could have easily dived in on that player, you know, just in the lead up to that chance from Buckley. But you know, he stayed disciplined. Returning to Nyland, I think, yeah, he's proving himself to be a very good goalkeeper and very reliable for us. That's all we need, really. I know that in recent years, we've been far too reliant on some of our, you know, goalkeepers. I think even stretching back perhaps to Ali Alhabsi, perhaps Federici, Martinez, you know, even Raphael, perhaps in the first season, to kind of make sure that we get, you know, a point or three out of games. I think we've been slightly perhaps too reliant. I'm not sure if Nyland needs to be that kind of person who wins us a point or three, but he needs to be reliable. That's the first priority for us, is being reliable and kind of minimising errors. So, you know, it remains to be seen, you know, how good of a signing he is. But, you know, in the early stages, I think the signs are promising.
Yeah, I saw QPR picked up Kieran Westwood last week after their goalkeeping injury crisis. And I sort of thought, well, that's the alternative, really. And I watched Kieran Westwood play on Sunday and thought, yeah, Reading definitely got the better goalkeeper in getting Oyan Nyland. And as Benjamin said, it is a good deal at this stage of the season. You know, you're never going to get a world beater who's a free agent, you know, during March. But ultimately, yeah, he's an experienced international goalkeeper. He's been called up to Norway this month. You know, he's got caps. He's played in the Premier League. He's played in big games. So, yeah, in terms of, you know, Reading wanting a goalkeeper, then Nyland certainly seems the best fit they could have got. As I say, he's been called up to Norway during the international break, and that will form part of our news bites rounding up all the latest news around Reading Football Club.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
So a look over the results over the last week of Reading's respective teams first. The women are going through a bit of a sticky patch at the moment. They lost 2-0 to Man City last week. It's now six games in a row without a win in all competitions for Kelly Chambers' side. And they have had some tricky fixtures. They obviously were knocked out of the FA Cup by West Ham. But in terms of the WSL, I think all of their games, or sort of certainly four out of the five games over the last couple of months, have been against teams above them. So they've had a difficult run, but they are still seventh in the WSL table. And they travel to Aston Villa, who are in 10th on Saturday lunchtime. The under-23s, they lost 2-1 against Southampton on Sunday. Jamari Clark scored the only goal for them. And they are bottom of the Premier League 2, Division 2. And they did win the game before that. I think they're level on points with Middlesbrough, I think, who are second bottom. Obviously, no relegation in that division. So, but they don't play again until Friday, April the 1st. And they're at home against West Brom at the Select Car Leasing Stadium on that day. Better news for the under-18s. They won 3-1 against Birmingham this afternoon on Tuesday. And they are ninth in the under-18 Premier League. And they play Tottenham at Bearwood on April the 2nd. So the only team in action for Reading, obviously, over the next 2 weeks because of the internationals, are the women's team. So they are, as I say, playing Aston Villa away from home on Saturday. Speaking of the international break, a few call-ups just to mention. So hopefully these players don't get injured while they're away with their respective nations. Luke Southwood is once again away with Northern Ireland. And they've got a couple of friendlies. So potential opportunity for him to make his senior international debut there. As I say, Oyan Nyland's been called up to the Norway squad. Andy Eardom is again away with Ghana. Junior Hoylett is away with Canada. And also a special mention to Mamadi Kamara, who's earned his first call up to the senior Guinea-Bissau team. 18 years old, Mamadi Kamara, you know, quite the rise, really, from sort of playing in Guinea-Bissau and then playing in Portugal a few years ago, and then obviously joining Reading. And, you know, he's impressed, I think, sort of with the first team cameos that he's had this season, and also been one of the standout performers for the 23. So a very well-deserved call-up to the Guinea-Bissau side, who Reading seem to have some bizarre connection. We've got, I think, almost half of the Guinea-Bissau team have played for Reading when you look at some players like Joe Mendes and Pele as well. So that link continues with Mamadi Kamara, hopefully making his debut for them this month. Also, one other bit of news. And there was final confirmation of this very exciting 150th anniversary match between Steve Coppell's 2006 promotion winning side and Brian McDermott's 2012 promotion winning side. That's taking place at the Select Car Leasing Stadium on Saturday, 21st of May, 3 p.m. kickoff. Tickets are on sale now, but only two of the four stands are open. The Select Car Leasing Stadium, which I found a bit strange. I mean, I presume there are reasons for it, maybe in terms of stewarding and stuff and cost and stuff like that. But I'd have thought for a game like that, you want all four stands at a Select Car Leasing Stadium packed out. So, but I'm sure it'll be a great day regardless. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to it, and it should be a very, very exciting day. The teams haven't been confirmed yet, but hopefully we see as many of those promotion winning legends as possible. And it will certainly be, as I say, a great occasion. So certainly one to put in your diary. And 21st of May, 3 p.m. That Legends game between Steve Copple's team and Brian McDermott's team. Right, let's look ahead to the big match in the Championship then. After the international break, no game this weekend because of the internationals, but then Reading travel to Barnsley on April the 1st. And we'll look ahead to that now in the big match preview.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
So, yeah, this is certainly seems to be, as it was last season, Barnsley away is the biggest game of Reading's season, really. Obviously, very different things on the line to a year ago, both sides going for the playoffs last year, and now both sides battling for survival. Hopefully, Lucas Joao can bring his shooting boots to this game. But, yeah, just a massive, massive game at Oakwell. Adam, Barnsley looked dead and buried, really, certainly a couple of months ago. Obviously, they sacked Marcus Schopp in November, replaced him with Poya Asbaghi, who didn't really seem to make much of an impact. But the last few months and weeks, they've certainly started to click into gear. And they made a couple of really shrewd January loan signings of bringing Domingos Quina and Amin Bassi on loan. They've certainly had an impact and improved the team. Barnsley have lost just three of their last nine matches, and they're also unbeaten in their last five home games. They are particularly strong at Oakwell this season, or sort of strong in comparison to their away form. 21 points out of their 28 points have come on home turf this season, so certainly not going to be an easy game. Adam, it's difficult to say, sort of, you know, are Reading safe if they win this game? You know, I think, if we win the game, we could be as many as 8 points clear. I think, I think as many as 8 points clear of the bottom three. If we do, and obviously if Peterborough win their game, then it'll be less than that. But obviously, if we lose the game, then that gap to the bottom three would only be 2 points. Is it as simple as saying if we win the game we're safe and if we lose the game we are bang in trouble? There's certainly so much on the line.
Yeah, definitely. It is hard to say. I mean, I'm one of those that's never comfortable unless Reading go about 6-0 up in the game because of, you know, Reading versus Arsenal in the Carabao Cup all those years ago. You know, I'm the kind of guy that wants us to be mathematically safe as possible, and until it's done, it's not done. So yeah, you know, if we win against Barnsley, it'll be a massive boost for us, and I think, you know, it'll definitely be a cause for celebration for us. But you know, I think, you know, we've still got to keep our eye on what we're doing. Obviously, you know, we weren't expecting Barnsley to have a resurgence, and you know, the same could easily happen with kind of Peterborough. So we just need to make sure that we're not being caught off guard, and you know, we're not resting on our laurels. We need to kind of get as many points on the board as possible, and then, you know, if we can do that, then we can take perhaps a little bit of momentum into next season, which also kind of promises to be tough. So I don't think it guarantees our safety, but I think, as I mentioned earlier, it'll be a massive kind of psychological blow to Barnsley. You know, and even if we get a point, I think that'll be a real source of frustration for Barnsley, really, considering, you know, that, as you say, a win would take them within 2 points of us. And, you know, if we do win, I think they'll find and they'll kind of view their recent resurgence as being futile, really, and that'll be a massive blow to them. So, you know, the importance of a win at Oakwell can't be understated, and, you know, the fantastic away support that we've got, and you know, not just, you know, for this game, but also for the entire season, I think we'll play a part. You know, but when we do meet them, I think we've got an increased allocation, so that's very good news. And yeah, let's just hope the boys go kind of, you know, get over the line with 3 points. But you know, like last year, I think I'd definitely take a 1-1. Just, you know, let's just hope not, you know, that we don't have a Lucas Schell sitter this year, because that could prove to be very costly. But having him available in the first place is good news for us. So, yeah, I mean, we seem to have, you know, the players at our disposal, I think, to go and get 3 points. But they've also got some decent players as well. They've got, you know, on paper, a very solid place, very solid base with Leo Anderson and Helik, who's a, you know, Polish international. Brad Collins, I think, is one of the better goalkeepers in the division. Obviously, you've got, you know, the likes of Callum Stiles and Callum Britton as well, who are, you know, very decent players. And if they were relegated, I think they'd get a move back to the Championship. So it's a bit of a surprise to see them in their current position. Obviously, they lost three very key figures really at the start of the season, or in the summer. Kind of Daryl DK, their main talisman, ex-captain Alex Mowat, and obviously Ishmael was a massive loss to them. So, yeah, it's you know, giving you a general overview of everything, really, and why they've kind of failed this season. But, you know that was the past and this is now. So, you know, what happens on the afternoon could be absolutely, you know, crucial, really, to both sides' fate, really, because, you know, Derby have suffered a recent blow, and Peterborough aren't exactly favourites as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge game. But whether we'll, you know, in terms of, you know, if we win, we'll survive, you know, it's not done until it's done. Yeah, that's how I'd really sum it all up.
Yeah, they were a team that I was really intrigued to sort of see how they would get on this season. But they obviously surprised everybody last season by their run into the playoffs. And, you know, I'm big fan of sort of their model behind the scenes. You know, they're part owned by the Moneyball guy, so they follow that sort of model, very data driven. You know, I think I picked them as my team to watch in our TT season predictions. I didn't say whether they were a team to watch for good or bad reasons. I think I probably thought it was going to be for good reason, but as you say, obviously losing Mowat, DK, and Valer and Ishmael has certainly hit them hard. But, you know, to say those January additions of Domingos Quina and Amin Bassi certainly have given them added quality, and Carlton Morris is finding form as well. So, yeah, certainly not an easy game. We'll touch on Reading's team news, but I did want, as you say, briefly mention the fantastic away support that has been brilliant this season. You know, I probably played in part due to the fact that people obviously couldn't go last season, so they're making up for it this season. But, you know, the travelling support has been brilliant, considering Reading's results have been very, very poor. People are still paying their money and travelling hundreds of miles to go and support the team. As you say, an extra allocation now for this Barnsley game. We sold just under a thousand at lunchtime, so we might well have surpassed that milestone now. So, yeah, the support has been brilliant, and hats off to everybody who's going to Barnsley or to any of the other away games for the rest of the season and so far, because it's been brilliant support. You know, I was down at Bournemouth on Tuesday, and I was surprised to see so many people there. Obviously, it's not too far away, but it's still a midweek night when we'd lost 4-0 the weekend before, and the support was brilliant. And you know, and you could see how much it meant to the players as well, and it certainly spurred them on to go and get that point. So, yeah, top work everybody for the away support this season. In terms of the team, then for Barnsley, Adam, obviously, hopefully, the players on internationals, the likes of Nyland, Junior Hoylett, Andy Yeardom, will come back with no injuries. It was an unchanged team between the Bournemouth and the Blackburn games. I think if it stays unchanged again, I think it would only be the second time this season that we've kept the same team for three straight matches. Obviously, Andy Rinnemotta went off in that first half against Blackburn, was replaced by John Swift. Paul Ince after the game said he wasn't sure on the situation on Rinnemotta. It was his knee that got injured. And Paul Ince said, hopefully it's not as bad as we think. If Rinnemotta is fit, Adam, I think we'd certainly want to see John Swift come back in, probably for Danny Drinkwater rather than Andy Rinnemotta. Yaku Mate, as we mentioned as well, still is getting limited game time. Obviously, hopefully, you know, 2 weeks break might sort of put him in the frame to start against Barnsley. But as we were saying earlier, it's just great to have all his options again. You know, there was a time earlier in the season where the starting lineup would pretty much pick itself, not for good reason, because Reading were winning games, but because there wasn't really anybody else that Vako Panovic could call upon. But now Paul Ince has several options at his disposal. Would you make any changes to that starting lineup from the Blackburn game for the Barnsley game?
Well, goalkeeper stays the same, 100%. I think he's been, as I said earlier, very good. Whilst Baba Rahman's been out, I've wanted us to switch to a back five, perhaps have Andy Yeardom at left wing back, or perhaps even Tom Ince at left wing back, either side, because I think Tom Ince has played as a wing back under Michael O'Neill at Stoke this season. I think, having Tom McIntyre at left back is a bit of a weakness, to be honest. I mean, there was very mixed reviews about his performance. I think he lacks a yard of pace, really, to be at left back, So I would have put him left centre back, maybe, or in the middle, in a back five. But if Baba Rahman's available, I'd definitely stick him in. I'm not sure how many weeks he's away now. I know that he got injured at Preston, and I think he was out for about 6 weeks. So I don't know if the Barnsley game will come too early for him. Hopefully, I don't think he's away. Hopefully, he's not away with Ghana. And hopefully, this will give him the chance to recover. But I'd definitely have him over McIntyre. I know that, McIntyre had some very good points, some very bright moments against Blackburn. But I just think having the more orthodox version there would be a more orthodox option there. Would be a decent shout for us, despite Rahman's defensive vulnerabilities. I think it's good to have a good, a proper option there. It's a surprise not to see Scott Dan in there, but I don't think you change that back four now if Rahman comes back. I think you've got to have Morrison and Holmes, considering we kept a clean sheet. And I think that Yeardom's also been very decent as well in recent weeks, and fair play to him as well. In terms of the drink water debate, I mean, it does offer us some good points, I've been as guilty as many other people as very harshly criticising him. And I guess that's the wage packet that he's on. And perhaps that's wrong of me to do so, to criticise him based on that. He's had some very good points in recent weeks. I think that he's been aggressive. I think he was aggressive, against Blackburn. As I said, was very disciplined, though, when he needed to be, especially during that moment where he could have given away a penalty. So he's had some bright sparks. I think he had, obviously there's been some loose passes as well. There's been some mixed performances from him, and there's been some not so good performances from him. But does he offer us enough to keep the likes of Rinomota and Lauren out of the starting lineup? I'm not 100% sure, if I'm honest with you. I think I'd prefer perhaps having Swift instead of Laurent, perhaps in a more advanced position. I'd have Laurent and Rinomota, and if Swift isn't fit, then have a Jarvia in the middle. But Swift should be completely fine. Lucas Zhao obviously starts up top, and then I think for me, obviously Tom Ince has got a lot of stick as well. Well, I guess that's because of he plays under his dad and what have you. But I think he's tracked back, I think, noticeably well in recent weeks. I know that Ajari has also checked back and done his defensive work noticeably improved in that area this season. So, that's important to help the fullback. I think, that's got to be a key priority as well, as well as supplying that real wing threat. I think that's important to have. But if Swift is available, then I think I'd have Ajari and Ince on either wing. And I know it's controversial perhaps to leave Yakumete out, but I'm not sure if either of them, either of Ince or Ajari deserve to be dropped at this stage. Perhaps it would send a bad message out to the rest of the team. But in terms of, going up top, I think it has to be Lucas Shaw. I don't think that Yakumete is a striker. I think he operates best perhaps, off the wing when he's got a touchline to work with. So I wouldn't make too many changes, but I would if Rinomota is available, then I'd have Swift in for Drinkwater, obviously push Swift up. I'd have Baba Rahman in if he's fit, in for Tom McIntyre. And I think those are the two changes that I'd make on this one, but I wouldn't rock the boat too much.
Let's do some predictions then. As I say, these could change. Will be some initial predictions, shall we say, for the Barnsley game that we are allowed to change in the lead up to the game. Just looking back on the last couple of weeks, I think pretty sure everybody predicted a defeat against Bournemouth, and no points for that. I think the only person to predict the win against Blackburn was Sim, who got it bang on with a 1-0 win for Reading. Mark should hopefully be able to update everybody with the standings if people do are interested in that sort of thing, to see who is leading, because I quite frankly have no idea. But let's do some predictions then for the Barnsley game. Adam, what are you going to go for this absolutely massive fixture?
Yeah, it's particularly hard to predict this one because it's such a massive game and it could go any way, to be honest with you. That's, you know, that's the reason why, although the win against Blackburn was good, it's, you know, I think this win will be absolutely crucial for us. I'd like it to be kind of the same as last season, perhaps. You know, I'd definitely take it a 1-1 draw. Ideally, we'd get a win on the board. I think that'd be, as I said, I think that'd be huge. But I'll go with a 1-1 on this one. I'm not sure we'll keep a clean sheet. I don't think we will keep back-to-back clean sheets, considering our defensive record this year. You know, even with, you know, our improved game management. But yeah, I'm going to go with a 1-1 because we you know, we don't seem to be all that shy in front of goal. I think we've been okay in front of goal at times this season. So I'm going to go with a boring 1-1.
I have also got 1-1, but before you say anything, I had 1-1 written down here. But as I say, it's almost impossible to predict, you know, what Reading performance we're going to see. You know, we could see the Reading performance of against Bournemouth and Blackburn, and we could see the Reading performance of against Nottingham Forest and Blackpool where they collapse. You know, quite it should be anything, and that in many ways is a bit worrying because it could be the Forest or Blackpool performance. But ultimately, we know these players have got it in them to put in a decent performance. You know, and given the magnitude of the game and given the importance of the game, and you know what a win could mean for Reading survival chances, you know, hopefully it is that team against Bournemouth and Blackburn that turn up and get a result. You know, certainly as much as a win would be massive, I think, you know, obviously you'd much rather draw the game than lose the game. You know, certainly because obviously Barnsley are breathing down our necks and they'd be 2 points behind us if they did win the game. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. But that just about wraps up episode 294 of the Tyler Stern podcast. No show next week, of course, because it is the international break. But I believe Mark will then be back after the Barnsley game, hopefully with a win to talk about, and also looking ahead then to the home game against Stoke City on Tuesday the 5th of March, starting off the final stretch in this bizarre season, and hopefully the stretch that sees Reading to safety. But what is left for me to say for today's show is, Adam, thank you very much for joining me this week.
No worries. Absolute pleasure, as always.
And of course, thank you at home for listening as well. Definitely a more upbeat show this week. I think probably nervously optimistic about what is to come is probably the best way to sum up me and Adam this week. So hopefully you have enjoyed. Enjoy the international break, whichever country you are cheering on. And come on, you Aussies.
You smile, funny how it